Hello, and welcome everybody to a special but somber episode of Pod Strickland. This is episode 400, which is a great occasion. Unfortunately, we are commemorating, eulogizing over the Knicks season. I am joined by comedian and also Knicks fan, Sam Morrill. Sam, how are you doing?
Yeah, it's tough. That was a tough one, obviously. But, you know, once you... You said eulogizing, and it does feel like a death in a way, because you're in denial, then you accept it, you're angry somewhere in between. I don't know the actual steps, but I feel hopeful today. I really do, because it just sucks that we couldn't be healthy this year, because I do think that the Celtics are so beatable, and the Knicks just, I mean, the amount of injuries, I've never seen anything like it in my life for any team. So when I see guys like Draymond being like, you can't blame it on injuries. No one felt bad for the 2015 Cavs, which first of all, yes, they did.
Yeah, everyone's a lot like, of people
this
did.
Bullshit. Everyone's like, this is bullshit that your second best player is, you know, I don't even, what's his name? The Australian kid, the defensive white guy.
Delvadova.
He's your second best player. Yeah, we felt bad for the Cavs. And then Draymond's like, you know, no one felt bad for the Warriors when we lost Durant and Clay. Second, that's the end of the series where they lost those two guys. And no one felt bad because they went out and grabbed Draymond Green on a 73-win. I can't even speak today. They grabbed Kevin. I'm so sad I can't speak. They grabbed Devin.
Durant.
On a 73-win team. So, yeah, no one felt bad for the Warriors. Because
they'd already won two fucking championships.
The what?
They'd already won two fucking championships with that team.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, I mean, look, the Draymond thing was stupid. And you know, you've mentioned one of the various steps. I think one of the steps that I utilized yesterday was alcohol. That was good. Yeah. But
I just took a Negroni poop. I feel terrible. I was like, am I going to make it at 1 p.m.? I was at the gym and I was like, oh, I'm that guy in the trying to sweat it out. But yeah, total Negroni poop.
But, you know, like you mentioned that there's hope. I mean, the biggest thing that it feels like a missed opportunity is it's not that annoying that it is a missed opportunity, because that's just part of like basketball. It's annoying because like we're Knicks fans. So we're conditioned for when you miss an opportunity, you're like, are we going to get this chance again? It feels like we will, but we've seen throughout NBA history, and obviously with this team, that those opportunities come and go. And, you know, it sucks because this year's team, we never got to see all of it together. We never really got to see
January,
that.
And we looked incredible. Like we saw, it sucks because we saw the potential of what it should have been. It should have been the year Randall broke the playoff curse. It should have ended differently. And we kind of lost our identity through these injuries, because our team was a beat you up on the glass team. And once you have Josh Hart playing power forward, what makes him special is kind of gone. He's not a power forward. He's a guard. So Josh Hart is the best rebounding guard in the NBA. He's incredible at it. He's a loose ball machine. He's a motor guy. But when you have him guarding Siakam, it's just not – it doesn't make any sense. But that was kind of what we were left with. So anyone who says it wasn't injuries, the Pacers fans who say – you know, they had injuries too. You're missing Benedict Mathurin. We're missing half our fucking roster. Like, are you kidding me? So congrats to the Pacers. They shot the lights out, but they're not shooting that way if we have our full defense and our length, and they're not getting second chance points. That's for sure. The Knicks never get beaten on the glass, and they've had, maybe the Pacers have had an absurdly easy run considering they didn't have to go through Giannis or Dame in the first round. Maybe a game with Dame, and he cooked him in that game. And then when we had a healthy team, we were up 2-0, and we weren't even healthy, but
yeah,
we had OG, and OG was the difference. Once you lose OG, you lose everything because of what he does on defense and how he stretches the offense. So it was a wrap.
Yeah. And it was, you know, like you mentioned, we didn't even really have the full team even at the start of the series. I mean, you just look through the playoffs and it's it really is insane. Like the injuries have just kept coming. I mean, you had, you know, you come into that Philly series and you're finally like, okay, OG's back. We're like, now we have our pieces. And, you know, obviously you're not going to have Randall. We knew that, but you had everything else and you're like, all right, we feel good. Then you've got, you know, Embiid does whatever he does to Mitch. And I know that, you know, Philly fans will be like, well, it was the different ankle. And you,
Philly fans are awful. What are you talking about? No, I'm getting more hate from Philly fans on Twitter than I am from Indy fans. I'm like, that was like weeks ago. What the hell is wrong with you guys?
It's also very funny because Philly fans have been acting like they are this like team that has been going on deep playoff runs forever. And I'm like, we got as far as you, like, we just went as far as you ever have with Joel Embiid. So what the fuck are you talking about? Like, well, you're not.
I'm mad too. I mean, if you have an MVP on your team and he can't ever stay healthy, I get why they're mad. Like, you look, I think the Sixers are a much better team than the Pacers. I don't think it's close. I think, you know, if you have a healthy Embiid, look, we're at full strength. I think we win still, but I think it's going to be really close. They're without question a tougher team. I thought their defense on Brunson was actually tougher. I think Oubre is a better defender than Nembhard, you know? So, you know, Brunson was unbelievable because we had more healthy guys, but
it was fresher. I mean, you could see it like you mentioned earlier, the Pacers have had, yes, they've definitely had favorable conditions, but I think you have to give them credit because like they use that to their advantage. I mean, they wore Brunson down over seven games because they were just like, you know, he has to go God mode to get through Philly. And then he comes into this Pacers series and he's still rolling, but like, you know, he's getting full court pressed every time he gets the ball for 94 feet.
For sure.
That wears on you. And you could see it yesterday, like, even before, obviously, he fractures his hand, which, like, again, what the fuck can you say at that point? But you could tell throughout the game, like, he just – it was tough for him. Like, it wore on him. And, you know, again, that's credit to them. But it's just frustrating because you're like, well, this is where having – like, the idea that we didn't miss Julius I thought was crazy. Even if you don't like love him as a player, which I understand, just the fact that you would have somebody else that could, hey man, I've been doing the heavy lifting for the first quarter here. Can you like pick up some of the slack? You didn't have that at all.
Of course. Yeah. He had to do everything and Randall can bring the ball up. There's a lot of stuff Randall can do that, you know, he's a guy that can draw a double team and find the open man. And he makes everyone's life easier, not just Jalen, but Josh and Dante and OG and everyone. So yeah, huge loss. And people kept knocking the Knicks' lack of depth, but it's like, guess what, man? In January, we look like one of the deepest teams in the league. It's what happens. You know, you have injuries. When you have six injuries, you're not deep anymore. I mean, I love Precious. He played his heart out, but he's not on paper part of this rotation. And neither is Deuce, and Deuce was incredible. So I hopefully going forward, Deuce still finds a way to be. But look, it was a hell of a run. That's all you can say. And it's really the what could have been season, which sucks because we know non-fans don't realize how good this team could have been. Because I think you hear a lot of casual takes like Tibbs ran him into the ground. And sure, that's what Tibbs does. Everyone knows he does that. But this team is built to be okay with that. And I don't think any of those injuries, you can make a real argument, came from Tibbs running them into the ground, except maybe OG. OG is the only one you can possibly make that argument for. The rest are just unfortunate, and that's the way it went this year.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think to your point, like, that's one of the most frustrating parts of the entire season is it's like, we all, obviously, like, I understand why non-Knicks fans are probably not, they were not locked in on the Knicks in January. Like they were not watching every game, every minute, all that stuff. But like, we saw that team and we also saw like your point, they weren't even fully healthy then. They didn't have Mitchell Robinson then. And they still hadn't done the Bogdanovich and Burks trade. So like, we didn't get to see all of that come together, right? But even then, like the minutes were not crazy by the end of that run. Like when he kind of figured out how to manage OG and make all that work and the injuries, like OG and Randall, like people keep forgetting this, but they literally went out at the same exact time. And you mentioned this also, like Josh Hart can play the four, but what makes him special is he can kind of just do all these different things. But the Knicks were like, hey, and they were, I mean, it's not even it's not a knock on Tibbs or anybody. It just, that's what the circumstances called for, where it was like, hey, we just need you to play power forward right now. There's just nothing else we have, and you got to do it.
Against, because Siakam's one of those rare old school power forwards. So it sucks that if this was a different series, I think it's different. Like, can he play the four against Nick Batum? That's much easier than him playing the four against a guy. Siakam and Randall are two of the, like, kind of out of place in time power forwards who actually are, like, old school, you know, post you up power forwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and you saw the size and it wore him down. And that's also where you, like, that's really where you missed OG through this series. Cause, like, you know, he can make, and you saw that, especially in game two before he got hurt, like, he was really giving Siakam a tough time. And then he was also, he had 28 points in that game in 28 minutes. Like, it was a good matchup for him. And again, he gets hurt. It just, it sucks because, you know, you just have to listen to all these stupid takes, and then you got to watch fucking Halliburton come out in the press conference yesterday with his Reggie Miller t-shirt. It's like, buddy, you didn't wear that coming into the stadium.
I know. He's not the guy he thinks he is. Brunson's the superior player. But you know what? I love it. It's back to the 90s rivalry going forward. We're taking the next one for sure. I mean, just got to stay healthy next year. That's the thing, is I think you got to look to the future, because we have a bright future. We have a lot of guys who are either in their prime or entering their prime. And I think Brunson's only going to get better. I think Dante's only going to get better. Dante looked unbelievable yesterday, even in the loss. And this team is – it's interesting to see what moves they're going to make, because Leon is – he's been cooking in the front office. So I'm excited for what's to come. Next year's going to be a lot of hype going into next year, but I feel good about it. And you said it's going to be hard to get back, but I think – what you're referring to is like that 2013 when we played the Pacers last and they beat us.
Yeah.
We were an older team. I mean,
Leo
was kind of on the other side of things. He was still a very good player, but weirdly, we had a similar problem in that series. They put Melo on David West, which is like, I don't care how good Melo is. He shouldn't be guarding a guy who's that strong. West was just a beast. And then that team had guys like Sheed and Kidd on the team. A lot of guys who were older.
Didn't make a shot. Kidd didn't make a shot the entire series, which was crazy.
Kidd was so good the first half of the year.
He was awesome.
And then the wheels fell off. What do you want? He was 40 and on his eighth DUI. Like, it was over. I love Kidd, but it was over.
No, actually, the team, like, I think really for me, because I'm older, I got the gray hair, but like, the team is the what it actually reminds me of the most is that 97 team where, like, they are up 3-1 on Miami, and, you know, they're going to lose game 5 anyway, but they've got game 6 coming home. They were better than Miami that year. And you felt that was like the one team during those Jordan Bulls years where you were like, this team has a chance. Like, I'm not saying they were 100% going to do it, but they had a real chance against Chicago, but you never even got that opportunity.
I mean, I'll never not hate that guy. That was, I mean, you flip Charlie Ward, then you just suspend everyone on the team. It was one of the most insane. I love it that the knock on us is like, yeah, the league is an anti-Nick bias. They want a big market team to not win. Well, it sure as shit feels that way sometimes. I don't know. I know that can't give up a 3-1 lead. That's the thing. Is like, you get wrapped up in it and you get angry. But
I don't know if you listened to the Brunson and Hart pod that they did with John Starks, but he talked about this. And apparently what happened is, so if you remember, they suspended guys for, there was like half the guys were suspended for game 6 and the other half were suspended for game 7. And so what they did is they said it was an alphabetical order, but then they did it in like reverse alphabetical order. So Hart, I think Ewing and Houston missed game 7, but, or no, sorry, they missed game 6. So they missed the home game. And then, like, Johnson and Starks and one other guy, I don't remember who it was. They missed game 7. So it was like they really got screwed in that. But it reminds me of that, not because, look, this team, to your, like, we have all our picks. The team, most of these guys are in their prime. Like, not most, all of them literally are in their primes. So you're in a good spot. But, like, it's always, you always in the moment, you're like, well, we'll be back next year. You just never know what can happen. I mean, we saw this year. You never know what can happen. And that's what sucks about the injuries. It's like I do believe this team is constructed to be back at that stage, make it a run to a conference finals, a finals or whatever. But you need so many things to kind of fall in place. I mean, look at any team that's won the championship in the last 4 or 5 years, which is why, like, I think it's always dismissive to be like, well, they got lucky with injuries. Like, every team kind of gets lucky at some point. But that's really the point, is it's like you just need so many things to fall in place. And it sucks because literally everything that could go wrong went wrong for us this season in a lot of ways.
Yeah. On another note, it's kind of interesting that this year is going to be a new champion. I mean, it's the first time the league has felt this wide open. I mean, there was a long stretch where it was like, you knew it was just going to be the Cavs and the Warriors every year. There's a stretch where you knew it was going to be the Spurs or the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's fun that it could be a new team. I wish it was us, but I don't know how anyone's going to beat the Wolves just with that defense. The defense is freaking believable. Like,
they were awesome last night.
I mean, McDaniel, it's funny because they have McDaniel and Gobert, and that's like kind of what we hope OG and Mitchell would be together if they're healthy. But, you know, Mitchell has just had a hard time staying healthy. Gobert has been durable over his career. McDaniel is unbelievable defensively.
He was awesome.
Towns is looking like – Towns is always needed to be the other. I think they were expecting to be Batman. He's Robin. Let him be Robin. He doesn't have the personality to be the kind of, alpha guy. And Edwards, like, holy shit, is good for this league. He's incredible. A shit talker. He can ball out. As long as it ain't the Pacers or the Celtics who win, I'm okay with it. I can't take those teams, man.
I don't think – I know, like, I just can't see the Pacers winning it. Like, it took them 7 games to beat this Knicks team and, like, so many bodies going down.
It's tough, though. I know we're not particularly as skilled as we should be because we're lacking so much depth, but, man, we are tough. And for all the shit people talk about Tibbs running players in the ground, we do have a culture, and we're in really fucking good shape. Like, these guys are, like – they really don't tire out till they have to play 48 minutes every game. But that's still pretty impressive how long we lasted with this lack of depth.
So were you at the Garden for some of these home games? You were definitely at – I think you were at a few of them for the Philly series. I'm sure you were at a couple for these, for the Indiana one also.
Yeah.
Were you there yesterday?
Yeah.
But you were there for game two, at least. You got the Brunson-Willis moment.
I got the Brunson comeback, and I was I was courtside for that one. That was pretty damn cool. That was with my brother too. So that was pretty special to see with my bro, my big bro. So that was crazy. But that's the thing. You get one Willis Reed moment and we used it up on that. We used it up on Brunson hobbling back onto the court. You don't get two where on top of it, OG and Hart come back. We ran out of gas, man. It was over. Brunson has been everything we want. I think, you know, we're getting mocked by a lot of fan bases, but like New York's a basketball city. You walk around and I love that the Rangers are good. I'm a Rangers fan. It's awesome. But there's something about this city when the Knicks are good. People have better posture. They walk around happier. I almost bumped into a guy in the street the other day and we were both angry at the other person. And we saw we were both wearing Knicks hats and immediately it just went away. And that's like the vibe of the city. Everyone's like, it's cool. Like, we're all in this together. And the city needs that right now. So, yeah, I mean, there's a basketball court on every few blocks in New York, no matter what neighborhood you're in. This is a basketball town. So I think people underestimate the IQ of New Yorkers on basketball. We all kind of grew up with basketball. We all know a decent amount about basketball. We all love it. So this team played unselfishly and with grit in the right way, and we're grateful for that. And we're pumped going forward. I think we're in a good place for next year. Like, are we going to complete the Villanova Infinity Stones? Do we get Mikal Bridges on the team? How cool would that
be? Bring Kyle Lowry back. He's like Splinter.
I don't want Kyle Lowry. He's driving me nuts in Philly. I got a lot of respect for Kyle Lowry, but at this point of his career, I'm like, go away. You're so annoying. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's fucking annoying.
He just won't fucking leave us alone. We had to play him in Miami last year. Then he gets bought out, and then he ends up in Philly. I'm like, are you kidding me? Can you just fuck off already?
He's a hell of a player. And the fact that, I mean, he doesn't, it doesn't get talked enough about, like, you always hear about, like, LeBron or Al Horford. I feel like people don't talk enough about that. This dude's like 38. It's crazy that he's still playing at that height. That's, you know, you hear about Chris Paul too, but like Lowry's smaller than Paul. I think he's so tiny.
He's
but
stout though.
He's stout. He's got that fat ass, but we got, Bridges would be a fun target to get. I mean, the only issue, I hear everyone saying they want him, but you know, there's going to be a Knicks tax. The Nets aren't just going to give us, they're going to give us a sweet deal. The only hope we have really is if Bridges goes, I want out and I only will go to the Knicks. And he's too nice to do that. We need him to be a bit of an asshole for just a minute. He needs to get in a group thread with Dante, Josh, and Jalen and say, God, dude, demand a trade and say you'll only come here. That would be fun as hell.
He should hire Josh to be his agent. Josh could just start trolling like Sean Marks and stuff, maybe make it happen.
How fun would that be? I think we need something else. I mean, I'm also cool with us running it back. I'm just worried about injuries. But I got to say, man, in January, we did look pretty great. And I do love Julius still. I mean, like, I know he gets so much hate from the fans, but I think we saw how much we missed him during some of these runs. And we know what he can bring. And whatever you say, he is a 20-10 guy who's a good passer. And I get a little annoyed when he settles just for the three because he's such a good post-up player.
Yeah, and I mean, he was really tapping into that this season. Like with Julius, like he's a guy like, I mean, I've been on the roller coaster with Julius. So I'm like, I hate this guy. Yeah. I love this guy. Yeah. We've all been there. But like, I think, you know, you're like really what we saw during this playoffs is Brunson's awesome, man. And yeah, he can give you a series where he's taken 30 shots every game and whatever. But nobody can be expected to carry that through an entire postseason. And there just wasn't. And look, like, you know, you maybe saw OG was kind of starting to understand, like, all right, I got to help pick up the slack offensively. And then he gets hurt. And then at that point, it's like, you know, there's nobody else in the team that can create. And really, one of the big issues was like, you really had nobody else that could score inside consistently. And none of our bigs, other than Randall, are guys that you can be like, hey, I need you to go get me a bucket right now. Like Hartenstein's got that floater, but he's not creating that shot.
That floater is beautiful though. Holy shit.
It's great. I love Hartenstein. I
see how automatic that shot was. Yeah, you're right. Hartenstein is unbelievable. And like, we need him on the team going forward. I think he gives us, I think another guy who was just run down by the end because he was doing too many minutes. He's a brick wall on defense, man. He had yesterday had a couple blocks where I was like, God damn, he's such a beast at the rim. I think we just need to give – we got to give some of these guys a little more time on the bench to recover. But you're right. There's not a lot of guys who can create offense who are power forwards. I mean, look, if we somehow – I'm still mad at Giannis because I did his benefit a while ago, and he told me he was coming to the Knicks. He told me, and he fucking lied. I think he was vibing with – he loves New York, and I'm like, dude, who is better Greek food, really? New York – in Milwaukee, let's be real. Who has more Greeks? New York's a great city for immigrants, man. We have so many immigrants. We love immigrants here. We vibe. Like, it's that type of city. Milwaukee is an underrated city. I will say, like, it's better than you think it's going to be. It's like you go there and you're like, all right, it's got some weird, like, segregation stuff going on, but it's actually kind of a beautiful city in some parts. But it ain't New York. And Giannis, you're – what you are in Athens, you could be that in New York. Like, you're a god there. Can you imagine Giannis and Jalen Brunson together? Like, and Giannis could have done it. He didn't have to fucking re-up with the Bucks. The Bucks who have fallen apart. I'm sorry, Dame is still a gamer in the playoffs. You can't knock Dame. He's incredible, and I have mad respect for Dame. But, like, the rest of this team, they're falling apart a little. Like, Middleton had a great run, but he's not what Middleton was.
They're just old.
They're old. Brooke Lopez, like 36 or 35, whatever. Yeah. Hell of a player. Hell of a career. Getting older. And then you got Bobby Portis having to do too damn much on offense because everyone was injured.
Yeah.
I don't think they're built to make another run. And
I still think there's a chance. Like, I know he re-signed his contract, but like, that's just what everybody does now, right? Because it's like, get the money and then worry about where you want to be later. And I just feel like, look, the guy wants to win. Like, he knows he wants to win another championship. I think that's obviously a huge goal for him. He's also at a position where, like, he brought a title to Milwaukee. So like at that point, he's given them everything. Yeah. I think if in a year they run it back, I think they'll run it back this next season, or, you know, they'll make whatever changes they can. But I think if they're coming up short again, I don't think it's crazy for him to go into next offseason and be like, hey, we had a great run, but like, I don't think we can really bring in the talent we need to win a championship. And then at that point, like maybe then you can go get him. But like, you know, it's tough because it's like, if you're the Knicks, are you really going to wait? Can you afford to wait another year to make that big move? Like that's the tough spot.
There is a coach.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough spot though. Cause the Knicks are really, really good, but getting that last thing, last things you need, that's the hardest part.
The hardest part
of doing it.
Of course.
And I don't even know, like I could sit here and, you know, it's like, it's easy to be like, oh man, just get Giannis. But it's like, yeah, I mean, I wish I could just snap my fingers.
Just get a top five player in the world. Yeah. I mean, look, thing about Giannis is he's unbelievable defensively and he'll give you so much on offense. I mean, a starting lineup with, you know, Giannis, Ihart, OG, Dante and Jalen would be pretty dangerous. If you know, I don't know if you play Giannis at the center of Randall. I don't know what you give up for Giannis. I don't know what it would be, but fun to think about. But you're right. This ain't NBA 2K. It's not that easy to make a trade for Giannis. So you have to think about, I've heard the name Devin Booker come up. I've heard, Devin Booker's a hell of a player, but then you have the problem of a small backcourt, right?
And yeah, well, it's also just like, it's another situation where it's like, you can't do what the Suns did and then like give up after a year. Like, so you're going to have to wait.
Yeah, you do. You have to give up. That team.
They should give up.
They got swept and they have the worst. I think Bradley Beal is the worst contract in the NBA right now. And,
he's got a no trade clause.
A no trade clause. And he just doesn't. He's another undersized guard who is, I think, there's a lot of empty calories. I mean, you're in Washington putting up 30. Who cares? Like, you're on a lottery team. I know he made it look good. He's a hell of a talented guy. But, I mean, you got to be careful grabbing guys from teams that are completely irrelevant. And also, he didn't really fit the team. Like, you needed a point guard. You didn't need another guy who just needs the ball. You got KD and Booker, who are two of the best in the biz at needing the ball. And then they could have done something better. Like, Nurkic did not make a lot of sense. I did like them going for that Ted Cruz-looking white guy who annoys everybody. What's his name?
Grayson Allen.
Unbelievable jump shooter, and he plays good D, and he's, like, one of those, like, strong guys. Definitely got a like, goon January 6th vibe, but he's a tough he's a tough player. I was pretty impressed with him. But other than him, they're in kind of trouble. They don't have really other guys that can hurt you. And what they really need is like Chris Paul 2 years ago.
Well, speaking of January 6th, how did you enjoy watching TJ McConnell in this series?
Ugh. You know what though? It's funny. I was trashing him on Twitter. I'm like, I fucking hate this guy. And some guy responds, if he was a Nick, you'd love him. I'm like, of course, he's that type of guy. I mean, that's probably how other teams feel about Josh Hart. He's our favorite, but Philly hates him with a passion. Yeah, we hate the guy who's the motor effort guy.
He's a dog. He's fucking. He doesn't stop. It's ridiculous. Like,
you know what he is? He's Pat Bev who wins.
Who's good? Yeah,
Pat Bev. He's a good Pat Bev. But you know what bothered me about the way we played him? You know his three ball is shit. It's very – he only hits it when you give him, like, a long time wide open. And we kept playing him so close to let him drive by us. Give him the three ball. He kept killing us from the mid-range. His mid-range and his post game is really good. Let him shoot the three is how I would have – I'm telling Tibbs at a coach. I'm an idiot. But it was driving me crazy. Can't – TJ's a hell of a player, man. He annoys the shit out of me, but he's a hell of a player.
What was your favorite moment in this playoff run at the Garden that you were?
I was at the game where Dante hit the game winner, and then followed by the Hardenstein block, and I was like, man, two dudes coming up huge. That was a pretty special one, and I mean, I was at two of the best games of the playoffs, not just the Knicks, but I think the whole playoffs of the Brunson coming back in hurt and willing us. I mean, it's too bad we didn't win the series, but that was pretty special to see those up close. Those are cool. Yeah. How about you?
I was not at any of the games.
What were your favorites to see, though?
My favorite one, it was probably, I think it might have been, trying to think, there's so many. I wish I could say game five against Philly, but then, you know, obviously the end of that game happened. But my favorite moment, I mean.
I was at that one. That sucks.
Yeah. My favorite one is probably game four at Philly. Where Brunson
one leg shot.
Yeah, and then you had like the crowd was like fucking 60% Knicks fans. It was just, it was really cool to see an atmosphere where like you're on the road, but the crowd is almost like it was like a 50-50 split. So you're getting these crazy reactions throughout. And then yeah, Brunson, I mean, he had like what, I think he had 47 in that game. That was the Knick record. And like it was just, it was literally a masterpiece. And it was like, you know, he had 47 and 10 assists, and we scored 97 points in that game. Like, that is literally a fucking carry job. And it was just, it's when you win on the road, I just feel like it's so satisfying. And then you closing them out in game six on the road, I mean, especially to come back after you get your fucking heart ripped out the way it was in game five, because the series was over. You know, you're up six with 28 seconds left. You're like, what could possibly go wrong? And Tyrese Maxey's like, well, let me show you what could go wrong. But, you know, to come back.
Maxey, I'll say this.
Yeah.
I think Maxey's better than Halliburton. I think
he's
nasty. I think Maxey is so quick. And the thing about Halliburton is, I know he hit some big shots in us. I think, I don't think he wants, he's a distributor. I don't think he wants to take the big shot, whereas I think Maxey and Brunson do. And I think that's the difference. But end of the day, they moved on and we didn't. So we just got to get the band back together. And we really got to – I don't know if they're going to run it back, which would be fun as hell. Because I – shit, man. It would suck to see Randall go because he's – I mean, he started this. You know, he started this turnaround for us. And the same way I love Damari. Yeah, right. The same way I love Damari for coming here and giving it a chance. I love Randall, but – it does scare me, the extension. I'm like, man, it's a lot of money. And we're in a team of conservative, very smart contracts. So we'll see what happens. Either way, I'm fired up going forward for this team.
Yeah, it was cool seeing him on the bench, though, too, like for him to just be there for the team and all that stuff. I mean, obviously he couldn't play, but.
Seems like a good guy. Seems like a really good guy.
And just like, and in general, I just thought this team, like, you know, whatever, it sucks, it's over and they lost, but like, there was definitely like almost like a collegiate type of togetherness and camaraderie that is not, I mean, that's just not how NBA teams usually are to operate that way. So, I mean, again, it sucks the season's over, but you know, I look back at the entire season and it's like, you look at how much they overcame and how far they still were able to go. You know, you get like 50. I know there were people in that last game of the regular season that were kind of like, who cares about getting the 50 wins? Like, let's just, you know, let's play for the matchup. And I was like, no, I want 50 wins. Like, we haven't had a 50 win season in a decade. I want 50 fucking wins, and I want the 2 seed, and I want those things. And they, like, this team battled to get everything they got. They had to fight. And
yeah,
I think that's the thing that Knicks fans like really identify. And I think that's why you saw all these 90s guys, you know, all these old 90s Knicks guys at these games, because I think they could identify with this team in a way that we haven't been able to identify with a lot of Knicks teams over the last 25 years.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's been a team this fun since the 90s. The characters, they're all kind of fun. But even the 90s, it was like a different type of fun. It was kind of like, we're going to beat your ass up. They weren't like as joyful. Like, this team plays with a lot of joy. And I think that's why we get so annoyed when the media would just kind of shit on us, because you have guys like Draymond Green calling us a fluke, and you're like, just let us be happy. We're having fun. Why can't? And also, we're not a fluke. If anyone's a fluke, it's Indiana. They got two teams that were completely depleted by injuries. So I don't think we're a fluke. I think we're a problem going forward. And I think it's just, it's the beginning.
Yeah. Who was your guy in the 90s? Who was your dude? Starks? Starks, your guy?
Starks is my fave growing up. He was every kid's favorite because he, you know, he's like the baby face sniper. You know, he was emotional and he was feast or famine. He was took the challenge with Jordan. I was such a big Starks guy. He was my jersey growing up. My brother had Ewing, and I love the whole team. Obviously, I love them all. But yeah, Starks was definitely my favorite. I've got to meet him a couple of times, and he's so cool. And he's
a nice guy. Yeah,
such a nice guy, and so fucking great. Like, he was such a likable guy in the 90s, and.
So you approve of Josh Hart taking the number, and he's...
That's actually hard for me, because I want a current jersey. I actually have a Randall jersey, but I got it during COVID. Mm. I feel weird wearing jerseys at my age. I usually just rock T-shirts, but yeah, it is a little hard for me that... I don't know. I mean, I know that if we won the chip, they would have retired it. So it's hard for me that it's one bad game away from, like... He's three to me. It's just tough. Like, I love Josh Hart. He's one of my current faves for sure. But yeah, Starks is three to me.
Yeah, Starks definitely. It's funny though. There are people that like can never forgive him for Game 7. I'm like, I just can never get there because I'm like, we wouldn't have even fucking been there without Starks.
Of course. And guess what? We have a coach who could have thrown Hubert Davis in there. Like,
or Blackman.
At a certain point, yeah, Hubie was a great. Great shooter, and Starks just had a horrible night. But he's for better or worse, that night worse, he's ours. I love Starks, and he gave it everything. He embodied, I think, what this team embodies. Where maybe undersized, may not be quite big enough for the fight, but he's going to give it his all. And so did Josh and Dante and Jalen and Isaiah and. Everyone, OG, Precious. So
Dante, you know. Yesterday, that guy was going nuclear in the second half just to kind of like keep us interested. I was like ready to check out. Then he hit a three, and I'm like, God damn it. Like,
I had to stay. My friend was there with me, and he's like, you want to leave? I was like, fuck you. We suffer with the team. You're not going anywhere. You go to the last second. I'm not one of those leave early guys. I can't do it. And also, it's like, you know what? I want to stick around and just applaud.
Yeah, yeah, they deserve that.
Because they gave us so much this season. I don't want to leave early. And, it's not really in my DNA. Like, people, we can beat traffic. I'm like, we're walking home anyway. Who gives a shit? Traffic. Foot traffic?
It was really cool to, like, see Josh Hart very specifically, like, get that kind of standing ovation when he left the floor. Because, you know, you talked about leaving it all on the floor. And, like, that's obviously... Starks was definitely like that, but and all these guys left it all on the floor. But I think Josh Hart really epitomizes that in a way that, like, you know, because he talked about it yesterday after the game, where he's like, you know, this is my fourth team, my sixth head coach. Like, I've wanted a place to call home. And, you know, people forget, like, this is a guy, he got thrown in the Anthony Davis trade, then he gets thrown in the CJ McCollum trade, and it's like, the Knicks acquired him because they were like, this guy.
He was what we wanted. He wasn't the side dish. He was the main course for us. And I remember talking to my friend at the Comedy Cellar, who was like, man, we're giving up Reddish. And I love Reddish. And I was like, I don't know if you know how good Josh Hart is. I was like, dude, he's like a shooting guard who gets you 9 boards a game. Like, I was like, this is an old school Knick. And now every time he sees me, he's like, I love Josh Hart. Knicks fans are opinionated. I mean, but now it's very clear he's exactly what we wanted. And there is something to be said about playing with guys you like playing with and how you get the most out of each other. And that's why I think everyone wants Bridges on the Knicks. But,
it's obviously fuck Draymond and everything, but like, Steph is the best player on that team. But I always thought, like, when the Warriors were actually awesome, there's something that Draymond gives you from like an energy and toughness perspective. Yeah, that, like,
sure. The Hall of Famer. I just don't like him on a personal level, right. But he is a obnoxious, unlikable, terrible analyst who has like a bone to pick with everyone in the league for some reason. He's just like angry and arrogant, but is he a Hall of Famer? He is a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer because of where he landed. Not if he got drafted to the Brooklyn Nets, he's not a Hall of Famer.
I think that's part of what he's done.
I mean, he has had a great career.
Yeah, and I think Hart, like you mentioned, like you just said it, like if Draymond ends up in so many other teams, he's not what he is. Josh Hart, like, had to bounce around the league, and like he's better on the Knicks than he would be on almost any team, because there's just something to, like you mentioned, like Brunson and him obviously are, you know, basically best, like they're like brothers, right? Really, more than even just best friends. And there's something to like that connection. And I think he also just has connected with the fan base in a way that, like, I don't know, to me that stuff matters. Like, it matters. I don't want to just have a, but like, yeah, you can assemble a great team and have a lot of talent, but I always think, like, as a fan, I want something a little bit more. I want to feel like a connection to these players in a way that it goes beyond just like, are you talented and great at the sport? And I think when you see the way Josh Hart plays and how much he gives you and everything he's willing to do for the team, that resonates with me as a fan in a way that goes beyond, you know, what are his shooting percentages? What is, you know, his impact and all these things? Like, his impact transcends that stuff.
Exactly. And you want to play like, they feel like they feel our support and they want to make us proud, and they do make us proud. You know, that was the 90s Knicks for me. I mean, Mason, my friend Brian Koppelman wrote a obituary for Anthony Mason. He it was great, where he basically said he played like he cared about the city. And I always think about that. It's like, you know, he had so much pride in doing the dirty work, and there's something so beautiful about that. And that's what Josh Hart is. He takes pride in doing the unglamorous parts of the game. And that's what really make, I think the real fans really appreciate that. Like, yeah, does Josh have the greatest jump shot? No. Is he a great scorer? No. Is he going to outwork and out rebound you? Like, there's something about, like, it's a sports cliche, but wanting it more is a real thing. And Josh just fucking wants it more. Like, he's the type of dude that, like, if you were in a street fight, he could be going against a martial artist and the guy could keep beating the shit out of him. Josh would keep getting up. He would just be like, he might not win because physically he might not be a real fighter, but he's a dude that this guy would be like, dude, just stop getting up. Like, that is Josh to me. He just won't stop coming at you. And it took literally like a fucking injury. What I really made me sad was, I think it was game six. You could see how hurt he was. There was a play where he could have done that, where he just goes full speed at you. And he didn't. He drove it back out. I'm like, damn, for Josh Hart to not go full Josh Hart, you know he's hurting. So that sucked to watch.
He was like the Black Knight in Monty Python and the Holy Grail by the end of it. And he's just like, it's just a flesh wound. And you're like, your ab is literally like torn right now, dude. It's just,
poor guy.
Yeah, it's crazy how much he gave this year. You know, you just that. I think honestly, that's really why it sucks that there are no more games this season. Not even because because you wanted to win the series, but like, it was just so much fun watching this team and supporting this team. And like, I mean, like every single day you would get like four different quotes from Josh Hart where you're like, is this the funniest thing he said? Or is this the funniest thing he said?
That's the thing, is like, they're fun dudes. They approach the media with joy. Like, they play the game with respect, but they also approach like the media. A lot of people are assholes, and I'm not mad that Mike Malone said that to the media yesterday. I get where he's coming from. He's a grump from like the Popovich school of coaches. He's a grumpy, shit talky kind of character from New York. That's why I kind of like Mike Malone. I like his vibe.
Oh, he's very New York. He's very New York.
So New York. He's hard not to like. But this Knicks team has fun with the media. Like, they're not assholes. They're just nice kids. So yeah, hope we keep it together and hope we run it back. And they gave us a special year. We're always going to remember this year. And it's not about winning all the time. It's about building something and playing the right way. And they got a fucking nucleus for the first time in a long time. They've got like a core that we're like, holy shit, this is like
a thing.
Brunson's just getting started.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Ryan Russillo was on a pod last week. I don't remember who it was with, but he was talking about, like, you know, it's obviously every team wants to win a championship, but like the reason we like those 90s teams, like, yeah, obviously if they'd won a championship, that'd been fucking awesome. But like, I still love those teams even though they didn't win, because what more, like, yeah, you could ask them to win a chip, but like, really, they gave you everything they had. And they gave, like, you know, the thing that sucked about the Knicks being terrible for the last 20 years or whatever is just there's been, there's been like no memories created. And these last couple of years, at least, like you go and you beat Cleveland in Cleveland, you go and you beat Philly in epic game six. Like, right. No, those are things that you actually will remember, even if, yeah, you didn't win the championship.
100%. It's not about winning always. I mean, a chip is great, but like, I love the Yankees growing up. I love the New York Giants. I love the Rangers, but the Knicks are the one team in my lifetime that I haven't seen win yet. And they're my favorite New York sports team because it wasn't about just winning. It was about the way they competed and the characters and the way they electrified the Garden. And they didn't, if they didn't win, they gave it everything. They gave, like, you never were like, man, I wish Oakley and Mason tried harder. You know, like Oakley was literally jumping in the stands. Mason was jumping everywhere. Charlie Ward was diving into the front row. Like they were, it feels almost like there's this show on Apple right now with Gary Oldman called Slow Horses. Have you heard of this show?
No, I haven't.
Is it it's good? Great. It's like, it's like a British spy show, but they're the slow horses. There's the MI5, which is like their CIA, right? And then the slow horses are basically the misfits, the guys who couldn't kind of cut it. They fucked up for some reason, but they're really good. And that's what the Knicks felt like. It's like these guys, like where the fuck did these guys even come from? Starks was undrafted and bagging groceries. And then or maybe we got drafted after Mitch Richmond. So he didn't see any time. And then he should have been out of the league, but he had an injury that made it so they couldn't cut him. Like, it was all these dudes that shouldn't. Ewing was the only one who were like, yeah, this is the guy who's, like, the number one pick. But other than Pat, it was all like, you know, like, who are these guys, you know?
Yeah. So I know you got to get out of here. Are you going to be attending any Rangers games?
I don't know. I do love the team. I watched that 00T one the other night. Holy shit. Kreider winning that one with the hat trick. Yeah. I love the Rangers team right now, man. I love Shesterkin, just an unbelievable. It's crazy to have Lundqvist and then Shesterkin. It's crazy. I love Mika and Panarin's unreal. Like, and Trouchek this postseason is just like, he's just like the kind of, he's the guy you're like, his hand is just so steady. You know he's gonna do everything and deliver. So I hope they win it all, man. Yeah, I don't know. I'll think about it. But
yeah,
happy for the Rangers. They're so fucking cool. And New York deserves it, man. New York deserves to have and we have a lot of good teams for the next few years. So hope it keeps going. But man, Yankees are cooking. The Yankees have too many good pitchers right now. the Rangers are. I think the Rangers are the best team. The question is, like, it doesn't always translate to the playoffs.
Hockey's tough. Hockey's
really hockey
tough.
In the postseason is different. But Florida's unbelievable. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. There's so many good teams left. McDavid hasn't won a ring yet, right? Like, it's crazy. That guy hasn't won yet. So we'll see. But on paper, this Rangers team is, like, fucking insane.
Yeah. All right, Sam, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Your time. I'm talking to you.
Yeah. And if there's anything you want to plug, let people know what it is.
I'm on the road always. So all over the country, going to Europe in September for a bunch of gigs, but ton of gigs. Got a new special coming out in July. So just keep your eyes out for that. It's my favorite one I've done in a while. So, so just keep your eyes open for that. Yeah, all over.
Awesome. All right. Appreciate your time, Sam. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Have a good one.
All right. You too.
All right. So that was Sam Worrell. I didn't do the ad reads because I figured I should prioritize his time with us. But I'm going to do it now. BetOnline is your number one source for our summer sports season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Obviously, the Knicks losing yesterday sucks. But, you know, I had talked about this with Sam when we did the post game after game six. Maybe it was even after game five. But I know after game six, it was just kind of like, look, man, we'll see what happens. But once you had that heart injury and I know Hart and OG played yesterday. I mean, OG played whatever he played, like 3 minutes, and you could tell he couldn't move. It's hard to, you know, yesterday was basically the end of the season one way or the other. Because even if they had won, they had nothing. They had nothing left to give. They would have gotten smoked by Boston. So it is what it is. They gave us, like, they left it all on the court. I don't think, you know, you can ask for much more. You can't, not much more. You can't ask for anything more. Like, you cannot ask for anything more than what they gave us, because effort and all those things are, you know, they were non-negotiables for this team. Every day they came, you know, ready to work every single day. And I can appreciate that. And I think we can all appreciate that, as fans. So I'm just going to get to some of these comments here. Muhammad Mustafa says, 5 losses in games that OG has played since acquiring him. Unreal. I think it's 6 now, technically, because he did play yesterday. But yes, it's, look, the guy, but he is an injury prone player. So the Knicks are going to have to understand that and build their roster out in ways that accommodate for that. The key is getting this guy healthy for the playoffs and then being able to have it last through the playoffs. I the Tibbs thing with the minutes, I don't need to address it again. I feel very strongly that he was in a very tough situation, and some of the extended minutes came because of injuries that had nothing to do with guys getting playing extended minutes. So it was kind of like this vicious cycle. But yeah, they're going to need to obviously account for the fact that OG is not the most durable guy, and that should and will influence how they build the roster out long term. So that is what it is. Nemo Petiter says, we will kind of need the power of friendship, kind of extends to taking friendly deals and re-signing contracts, but it might actually happen to some extent. Nemo, when you're right, you were right. I do think there's something to that. If Brunson extends this offseason, that would be the prime example of it, because he'd be leaving money on the table. It is clearly more lucrative for him to play out next season, opt out, and then sign a 5-year contract the Knicks. If he extends this offseason, he's leaving significant money on the table. And that's the type of thing when if your best player is doing that, if your leader is doing that, other guys do that. And again, to your point, we've already seen this with a few of our guys, like Josh Hart. He opted in last year, right? He could have opted out and then gotten a bigger salary this upcoming season and given the Knicks much less financial flexibility. But he opted in. And because he opted in, that allowed the Knicks to use their mid-level exception to sign Dante DiVincenzo. And we should remember, Dante did not take the full mid-level exception. He got 4 years, $47 million. So he took less money to help the Knicks out too. And it's like, when those things happen, it matters. And it kind of sets the tone and the example. Like, I don't know if Isaiah Hartenstein is going to get a bigger offer than what the Knicks give him. I also just think Isaiah Hartenstein is going to stay with the team. I would be really surprised, honestly, if he's not back. I definitely want him back. I know he had a rough playoffs, but I think that's a consequence of how hard he played during the season. And you know, he had to shoulder a bigger burden. And I know the minutes weren't too crazy for him. Tibbs did a really good job of managing his minutes. Hartenstein himself publicly talked about it and credited Tibbs. But like, once Randall went out, you know, and OG goes out, look at how much more Hartenstein had to do offensively. And this is all while being the defensive backstop for the team. And again, like, I love Josh Hart. I love his defensive rebound. I love his rebounding in general, but it's a lot of pressure when you're a center and the next biggest guy in the starting lineup is 6'4". It puts a lot of pressure on you to be the guy that's keeping the team's integrity on the defensive glass. And he's also crashing the glass offensively. So there's just a lot going on for him that I think was put on his plate, that if Randall's healthy, he doesn't have to do as much creation offensively or be as constantly setting screens as he was. And it's a lot, man. He had to do a lot this year. He did a lot this year. I think he ran out of juice yesterday. Bless him, man. But he had, bless his heart, no pun intended, but he had no juice. He had absolutely nothing. The first couple minutes of the game, you could see he was really aggressively going after rebounds. And I mean, you could just tell defensively he just was not moving well. He just did not have a significant impact yesterday. And I think, you know, again, he just, like a lot of these guys, he's running on empty by the end of the season. This is from Jordan Bubb. What do you think a realistic player to get in the offseason that will address a need while also increasing the margins for the team? I mean, I talked about it yesterday in the post game, and I've talked about it previously. I really like Alex Caruso. I think he would matter. He would help. I can't name a name. Actually, I could. I mean, the Knicks definitely, to me, need more of that big wing type player. He's missed a lot of time the last couple of years with stuff off the floor that we're not, I mean, we don't really fully know what's going on with him. He's been very, very up and down, but like, I think Andrew Wiggins is a guy that, and I believe there's been reporting previously that they did express interest in Wiggins. He's somebody that I'd at least kick the tires on to see what Golden State wanted. If it was just like, hey, we just want to get off the money, okay, you know, maybe you do Bogdanovich, Jericho Sims, Diakite, whatever, just make the money work and take that chance. Maybe that's a guy. I mean, it's not ideal. It's not the perfect fit, obviously, but we do know that he has a level in him. We saw it anyways when he was at Golden State in 2022 in the finals. Like, he can get to a level where he's, you know, a needle mover in consequential situations. So that's definitely something to consider with him. This is from Muhammad Mustafa. Starks, the undrafted Tulsa King. That is true. There's no question about that. Nemo says, I've got doubts about Wiggins' compatibility, personality going all in wise with the current roster. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't look, to be very clear, I don't think Wiggins should cost you a whole lot. If he does, then, you know, you hang up the phone and you walk away. But if it's a thing where you're like, you know, look, they've got to also make a decision here with what they think about Bogdanovich. Because he did give the Knicks, I mean, look, the first couple games in the playoffs in games one and two, he was huge for them. He made some big time shots. I thought he was playing a lot better towards the end of the regular season as well. And he has an offensive skill set that is valuable. He's an older guy, though, and you could see some of those limitations athletically crop their head up throughout the season when he was with the Knicks. Some of that, I do think, was him kind of getting back to playing actual serious basketball versus playing stupid, idiot Detroit Pistons basketball. But, you know, is that a guy? Like, he's got one more year in his contract, potentially. Is that real? Like, but he's 35. So, you know, is it better to try and use his contract to get younger, even if it's a risk on a guy like Wiggins? Yeah, it might be, but it's not cut and dry. And there's a price where it makes sense. And there's prices where you're like, you know, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. So the Knicks definitely have key decisions to make this offseason. I'm sure they've already planned out a lot of this stuff and have ideas and have contingencies and all those things, because that's just how they've operated. And yeah, as Nemo says, but obviously you don't have any big wings in the market. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the issue. That's why, you know, I would be very surprised if the Knicks went after a guy like Kelly Oubre, just because I don't know. He seems like very much not a Knicks type of player, but he is a big wing. You know, it's like, is that a guy that you maybe take a chance on? I don't think so. I wouldn't do it to be put all my cards on the table. He's not a guy I particularly care for. He's not a guy that I want to have on this team, but he's a big wing and it's hard to find those guys. You know, I mean, honestly, if he was, I don't know if he, I know Nemo, you've mentioned this before, that he's probably retiring. He's probably done in the NBA, but like, that's why I would like, if Nick Batum was, hey, he's ready to play under season. Sure. I would kick the tires on Nick Batum. I think he's a guy who still has plenty. I think he still has game. I thought he was really good against us in that Philly series. He'd be an interesting dude to add. But again, if he's retiring, then kind of null and void at that point. Jordan Bubb asks, which Knick players who have the most development improvement in the offseason that will have the biggest impact for next season? I would say maybe Deuce. Like, I don't know how much more you're going to get out of guys like Dante and Hartenstein and Hart. Obviously, Brunson is, I think he's pretty much at the best he's going to be. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Could be wrong on that, but that's something to consider. I think Deuce is probably the one guy that you look at. And look, they have three draft picks in this draft. We'll see what they do with them. Hopefully they can draft a couple guys that, you know, even if they're not immediate contributors, that can be developed into that, which they've done a good job of with this front office and this coaching staff. So not out of the realm of possibility. Mohamed Mustafa, would you pursue DeRozan assuming he doesn't pick Chicago? No, I would not pursue DeRozan. I do not think DeRozan is what we need. I think DeRozan is happy for him. He's had a great and successful career and made a lot of money and scored a lot of points, but he is not, to me, the guy or the piece that really moves the needle for the New York Knicks. So that's where I would fall on that. All right. I'm going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody that joined us. Thank you again to Sam. I know he's not here, obviously, but maybe he'll listen to the back end of this. Thanks to him for joining us. This was episode 400, so pretty big milestone for us. I can't believe that we've actually done 400 of these things. But we have, so that's cool. I don't know when me and Sasha are recording, maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, who the fuck knows. We'll record at some point, and then you'll get 401, and then me and Prez will record, and we'll get 402, and we will work our way to 500, which will happen at some point next season, I'm assuming. But yeah, I mean, look, it was a great season. I appreciate everybody that was in the comments today, everybody that's been listening in all season. You know, all this stuff is, you know, yeah, we do this because it's fun for us to talk about the Knicks, but we also do it because there are people that actually give a shit and listen. So that's all you guys. Very, very appreciative of that. And yes, as Nemo says, go Minnesota. They are the team that I will be pulling for the rest of this playoffs. But I also think I will be checking out of the next couple of playoff games anyway. Just take some time off from watching basketball. It's been a great season, but it's also been a very intense season. Just a lot of ups and downs with this team in terms of just with the injuries. It's been crazy. But it's been fun. There's no doubt about that. And yeah. All right. That's our show for today. Check out all the work on the website. Matthew Miranda left us with a final great recap for the season's final game yesterday. And, you know, we'll be, you know, Prez has draft stuff coming out. He did publish his board today, so check that out. Go bug him in his mentions. He will, he'll definitely talk draft with you. And, yeah. All right. Well, that's our show for tonight. I hope everybody has a great rest of your day. Hope everybody has a great week. And I will see you, sometime soon. I'm not sure when, but I will see you soon. Peace.